This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM 80 and the ESPN app, alone Michelle Smallman, Lakers fan Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Wild night in the NBA, three games, two of them finished under 3 points and under. The Knicks win by three in a wild ending, which we'll get to. And the Lakers lose by two against the Denver Nuggets. Sorry, I slipped up on that.
I love that revisionist history, yeah, by the way. Love that.
And the Cavs go up 2-0 on the Magic. But let's start, guys, with this Lakers game. As the Los Angeles Lakers were up 20 points in this game, and they lost it. They blew the lead. 101-99 is how they lost it. Jamal Murray hit the game winner as time expired. Jokic had 27, 20 boards, 10 assists. Wild game. You okay, CC?
No, I'm not all right, because I don't understand Darvin Ham's decision-making, especially on the defensive end of the court. Like, after it was apparent that everybody else for the Denver Nuggets couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, why do you continue to double Nikola Jokic and allow him to facilitate those guys and get them going? Like, that's what led to Jamal Murray scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter and going 6-8 shooting. Like, he was absolutely abysmal the first three quarters. But you give him that opportunity, you leave the door open for that. And then the other one that's inexplicable, I mean, how in God's green earth do you allow Anthony Davis not to score a point in the fourth quarter? Not one. Now, this is your leading scorer. You don't let him score in the fourth quarter. You got to find a way to get him going on the offensive end, because at any given point, he can be the most dominant force that you have on the offensive side of the ball. So I just didn't understand that. Now, I guess we would be singing a different tune had LeBron James knocked down that wide-open three-point look with 30 seconds to go. But the fact is that there were plenty of opportunities for the Lakers to control and dictate the outcome of that game in the second half, and they missed all of them. And I can't understand that for a team that has LeBron James in the twilight of his career that should have championship aspirations.
Twilight of his career, but he still scored or assisted on 55 of the team's 99 points, which is 56%, and scored 6 of the Lakers' 10 points in clutch time. So he's still getting it done, even at this point in his career.
Didn't get it done with that last shot, though.
He did not. But, CeCe, do you think it's over? Is it over for you?
Yeah, it's over. The Lakers are not winning 4 of the next 5 games. It's over. Like, it's over. That was their last stand. That was the last gasp. It is over. Like there's a reason why it's starting to hear grumblings about how the organization is going to bring Darvin Ham back no matter what happens in this series. You know why they're saying that stuff?
Why?
Publicly? Because privately they're having a conversation on whether or not we got the right damn head coach. That's why they're asking.
Oh, if you want to go there.
That's why they're putting it out.
If you want to go
there.
That's
why it's out.
I've kept something in the back pocket I'm ready to take out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
We sure LeBron James' new podcast is not a job interview?
Whoa.
J.J. Redick's already interviewing for the Hornets job per Adrian Wojnarowski.
Whoa.
Just throwing that out there. If we're going to play that game, LeBron's got firsthand knowledge of whether or not this guy can coach basketball on a day-to-day basis, which we know J.J. knows a ton about basketball. Just throwing that. As long as we're doing that, I'll throw that out there.
So mind the game?
Oh, I'm going to mind whether or not you're going to have a job next year next to me. I'm just saying. Or whether or not when he owns a team, that's my head coach. Anyway, maybe.
So the play-by-play job for ESPN doing the NBA is a feeder system for NBA coaches.
Seems like it.
I mean, Doc Rivers told us to be the Bucks coach. J.J. Redick being the Lakers coach next year.
I mean, neither of you are shooting that idea down.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right.
It has to be on the board. Because what Darvin Ham did in the second half is inexcusable. Again, you let Jokic facilitate those other guys get going. That was you by doubling Jokic. Listen, Jokic is going to get his. It's an immutable fact. It's like gravity. Jokic is going to score the basketball. He's going to be a beast on the boards. What did he have, 27 and 20 last night?
Yes, he did.
I mean, the over-under total points and rebounds was, what, 41 and a half? And he blew that out of the water. Like, Jokic is going to get his. But everybody else, including Jamal Murray, was struggling. Just let him keep struggling. Don't help off of those other guys on Jokic, because he might be the best passing big man that we've ever seen. I mean, it's him and Bill Walton in the conversation and nobody else. So, I mean, I don't understand why Darvin Ham took that tact when it was clear that you were going to be fine once you built that double-digit lead, once you had a 20-point lead. just limit what you're getting from the others. Because Jokic was not going to shoot his way back in the game by himself. It wasn't going to happen.
There's another part of this. So at 99 all, and we heard the highlights coming in from 710 ESPN LA and John Ireland and company, that it's 99 all, and Jamal Murray hits that shot. And that wins the game for them. Prior to that, LeBron misses the three. I think it was a blatant push-off on LeBron, by the way. Mm-hmm. But LeBron post-game, not happy with the officiating.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
We will get to the Sixers-Knicks game in a second, but his head coach, Darvin Ham, also had this to say on the inconsistent officiating.
It's tough. Some tough calls, some tough non-calls. But, you know, you can't use any of that as an excuse. You got to go out there and be ready to make plays, whether the whistle gets blown or not. It's getting real tricky. Go through the season games being officiated one way, and then you get in the playoffs, and then it's like, I guess it's up left to the interpretation of the three individual guys that's doing the job out there. But all that said, you just have to know that, it stings. Remember this feeling as we take it back home to L.A.
I hate this because I know we all know what happens here. It's teams complain about officiating to get referees more conscious of certain things for the next game, thinking they're going to get the calls. The NBA has to nip this in the bud immediately because of all the gambling stuff. You cannot allow this to be influenced on the officiating or anything like that, and I'm not even suggesting it's going to be. I'm suggesting in the past we've seen this kind of this move from star players and coaches. The issue I have is if you blow a 20-point lead, it's not because of the refs. It's just not.
No, it's not. But here's the other part, too. The refs have been incredibly consistent in terms of what they're doing in the cross.
They're letting guys play.
There's prison ball out there. Like, it's prison ball. Like, they ain't going to let you be physical. The term that they used in the Knicks game was marginal contact. They're going to let these dudes play.
But you should have
figured that out on Saturday and Sunday. Like, if you're the Lakers, after the first game, after game one, you know, okay, this is how the refs go call it. And they've been incredibly consistent across all the playoff games, whether it's Cavs Magic, Knicks Sixers, you name the playoff game, the refs are letting them play. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for it. From an entertainment standpoint, I think it's awesome, right? I don't want to hear or see the ticky-tack fouls. But if you're the Lakers, man, that ain't why you lost. The refs ain't why you lost. Again, I've said it. You had a 20-point lead in the third quarter, dog. Jamal Murray through the first three quarters was 3-16 from the field. You can't script it any better. You can't. D'Angelo Russell could actually shoot last night. He was great. You can't blow that game. And to me, that one is squarely on the shoulders of Darvin Ham. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, those dudes can't do any more. Would you like to get more from Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura? Sure, you would. But the top two players on your team played well enough to win. And it felt like the coach didn't give them an opportunity to actually let it pay off in the way of getting the dub.
It always feels to me like when a team loses in the manner in which the Lakers do last night, even if what LeBron James is saying about the officiating has merit, when you give up a 20-point lead and you lose and post-game, that's what you're saying, that tells me a lot about where the team is mentally. I know that he's very calculated in the things that he does, but it almost feels a bit defeatist in a way to be complaining about the officials when you know that you had the Denver Nuggets at a 20-point deficit and you lost the game.
It's strategic. It's, I need help in game three. That's what that is. That's LeBron James telling everybody, I can't do this with this group against that team without the Zebras.
But that's defeatist, though.
My dad had a saying, help, if you're looking for help, it's at the end of your arms. If you're LeBron James, it's on you, bro.
It's at the end of your
arms. If you're looking for help, it's at the end of your arms. It's your own hands. Like, you got to do it. Like, as much as I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he is in year 21, because he is 39 years old, like, he is going to have to summon something that we have never seen before. Remember the conversation that we had before this series. If LeBron James was able to get through this Denver Nuggets team on the way to winning a championship, that would be him showing us something that we've never seen before. Him not being the best player in the world and finding a way to be the best player in the series. him not being the best player in the series and yet finding a way to elevate everyone else more so than any other player that's on the court. That's what he's going to have to do. Because guess what? The dude that's on the other team, Nikola Jokic, he just went for 27, 20, and 10. 27-point, 20-rebound triple-double. That is absolutely incredible. Like, that's what you've got to deal with. And in order to be able to beat Nikola Jokic, who is one of the best playmakers, if not the best playmaker in the entire NBA, LeBron James is going to have to elevate his play even more so than what we saw last night.
The problem with all of that is your two best players gave you 58 points, 19 rebounds, and 14 assists. You had a 20-point lead and you lost. Mm-hmm. Think about that. 58 points, 19 rebounds, 14 assists combined. You had a 20-point lead and you lost.
You know what sucks about that?
I'm going to tell you.
As a Lakers fan, the game was just close enough to actually give me hope that they could get it done.
Well, they had a halftime lead in game one and a 20-point lead in game two.
That's what I'm saying.
There's stuff there.
Like, exactly. I had hope. I was like, oh, this might be different than the Western Conference Finals from a year ago. No, it ain't. Jamal Murray, step back, Bobby Jack. Good night. And listen, it was great defense by Anthony Davis. You can't ask AD to do any better than that on a point guard. He was great. He was in great position. But, I mean, it was an even better shot. It was great defense. It was just better offense. And I guess as a Lakers fan, to see it go down like that, for LeBron James to have an opportunity to stick the dagger in him and not make that shot, I mean, the ball basically rims out. It is maddening. It was frustrating. And that's the thing. I didn't have any illusions about the Lakers. I said this would be a gentleman sweep at best.
And now?
It might be a sweep. It might be four straight wins for the Denver Nuggets. They're just that damn good.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. And now a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at Progressive.com. Well, if you thought that game was controversial, wait till you hear some of the fallout around the Knicks and the Sixers. We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Here we go. Knicks up 2-0 in a series against the Philadelphia 76ers. Mark Hestershire with a call last night here on ESPN Radio. 104-101. A grievance has been filed, which we will get to in a second. Let me give you the setup as to what happened here. So late in the game, Kyle Lowry of the Philadelphia 76ers hits one of two free throws to give Philly a 5-point lead. The New York Knicks then scored 8 points in the next 27 seconds of the game, including a Jalen Brunson three that didn't want to go in. That Jalen Brunson three, and he was not that great last night, just was bouncing around the rim. It goes in. Then Tyrese Maxey gets the ball on an inbound, cannot control the ball. Nick Nurse, head coach of the 76ers, is claiming he tried to call a timeout when the ball was loose here. The Knicks get the ball off of that. Dante DiVincenzo shoots a three, misses it. Knicks get the offensive rebound. Isaiah Hartenstein gets the rebound, kicks it back out ultimately to DiVincenzo, hits that three. Then Tyrese Maxey, who is the fastest guy in the league, speeds down court, and somehow Isaiah Hartenstein trails him, blocks the shot on the layup, OG Anunoby gets fouled, two free throws. The 76ers get one final possession, down 3 points, and Joel Embiid misses a three. And the Knicks, who were down five, score 8 points in the final 27 seconds of this game to win 104-101.
They had a 4% chance to win the game before they started that run. Think about that.
All they needed.
A win probability of 4%, and they find a way to pull out the win. Shout out to the Nova Knicks. That was such an exciting game last night.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hart has been on one. Like, everybody knew the scouting report centered around Jalen Brunson. He hadn't been great. He's only shot 29% for the series. Like, I mean, you wouldn't think that he would be able to have that low of an offensive production or be that inefficient in the Knicks be in this position where they're up 2-0 and they have a commanding lead. But that's where they're at. And it's because of the others, man. I mean, Josh Hart has been absolutely fantastic. He stepped up and been able to knock down shots from three. He was 4-for-7 from three last night. I mean, just the ability to be able to make those shots when a guy on the season is shooting 30% from downtown, that is improbable.
And one other add-on to that, how many minutes are in an NBA game?
48.
How many minutes did Josh Hart play?
48.
Okay, continue.
That's what he does. He's an absolute dog.
He's a winner.
But what he does on the offensive end doesn't take away from his defensive prowess. How many loose balls, how many offensive boards are you talking about with that guy being able to get? Think about it. Josh Hart last night, four offensive rebounds, 15 total rebounds in the game. He's an absolute monster. You're talking about a dude that's 6'6 and getting boards like that. Like, that type of energy is infectious, and you see it from all the others, whether it's Isaiah Hartenstein, who I thought was awesome. He had the rebound that gave DiVincenzo a chance for that dagger three, which DiVincenzo said post-game that they actually practice every single day. So they prepare for that scenario. Tibbs makes sure that those guys are ready for that moment. But then Isaiah Hartenstein being able to stay with Tyrese Maxey on that last possession for the Sixers and get that chase down block, that is absolutely awesome. I mean, Nick Nurse got the play that he wanted. He got Maxey downhill going straight toward the rim. It was just a better play by Isaiah Hartenstein. And it just shows you how scrappy the New York Knicks are, man. This is not a one-man band by Jalen Brunson. And quite frankly, in the playoffs, you're going to need others to step up, especially with no Julius Randle. And those dudes are doing that. But Smalls, for the life of me, I can't understand why Nick Nurse didn't take a timeout. Not just when Tyrese Maxey was on the floor rolling around. Why didn't he just take a timeout when they were struggling to inbound the ball in the first place?
After the make.
The worst place that the player could inbound the ball is the corner. They teach you that in rec league. Like, why would you inbound the ball to that spot on the court under those circumstances? It makes no sense.
Well, Nick Nurse thinks he did try to call a timeout. Here he is post-game addressing that issue.
The first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout.
Stop right there. Why did you even inbound the ball to the corner? Kyle Lowry is a veteran inbounding the ball. He knows better. Why are you inbounding the ball? When you see that your first look to get the ball inbounds is not there, call timeout. Don't even throw the ball inbounds.
Well, that's why they have Kyle Lowry there, and he made a mistake too, because he's got to know better than
no
that.
No doubt about it. But here's the thing. If you're the head coach, don't even let it get to a scenario where Tyrese Maxey is rolling around on the ground. And here's the other thing that we're not talking about, the elephant in the room. How about the guy with the damn ball call timeout? You're on the ground. Call timeout. At that point, when he's initially on the ground, none of the other Knicks players are on the ground. You can just call timeout. Hold the ball, call timeout. We've seen it a million times. And oh, by the way, the timeout signal that Nick Nurse said he was given, when did this ever become a timeout with just one finger pointing in? Timeout was this, with the whole hand into the other hand. When was it ever like this? When was this ever a timeout? This looked like a play design or something. When was this ever a timeout? I don't know. That ain't never looked like timeout to me.
For those on the radio side, CC is putting his left hand up like an open hand.
With your index finger,
the right index finger,
into your palm. That has never been timeout.
No.
Never.
No.
I've never seen that.
And Embiid spoke on this also last night after the game. A game which, you know, he had a ton of points, but he was lumbering around yet again. Unfortunately, he had his knee, every time he came out of the game, they fell apart, but also had his knee kind of massaged every single time he came out of the game because of how much pain he was in. Here's Embiid post-game.
Do you think you guys had gotten a timeout in?
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline. but that they give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable.
All right, he's saying it's unacceptable. He also went on to say that they are going to win this series. They're the better team. But our very own Tim Bontemps reported something last night, and this is so typical of a Daryl Morey. He's their team president and general manager, a Daryl Morey-run team. A 76ers spokesperson told ESPN that the team is going to file a complaint with the league over the officiating across the first two games of the series, as well as the fact that the Knicks, for both games 1 and 2, have put out statistics about the referees working each of the games into their game notes. It is unclear whether that violates league rules, though it is certainly unusual. See, here's the problem I have. Daryl Morey has become the boy that cried wolf on so many occasions. He's the same one that filed the grievance with the league against when he was with the Rockets with this scenario with the Warriors, right? About they have to look into all of what happened during that game. They audited games every damn year in the postseason. Daryl Morey's teams come up short. They just do. And it's stinky this year because I was the one who believed in this team. I was the one who was giving Morey credit for the first time in my life. Everybody thinks he's like the greatest general manager ever. He's never been to the finals as a GM. For the first time in my life, you know what? I'm going to believe in this guy. And this is what he's going to do. You think this is why you lost the first two games? Your superstar, unfortunately, tragically, is falling apart.
He's not agile at all.
No, he can't. Even on the final play, Smalls, where he had the three, he couldn't come over to set a proper screen because he can't move. And this is so typical Morey that he's going to investigate this and look into this. You don't even think the league's going to say, you know what, Daryl, you're right. We're going to give you the first two games of this series. Give me a break.
No, it's just making noise and kicking your feet about an outcome that you're upset about. And I know Joel Embiid has that confidence that the Sixers are going to be able to come back and find a way to win this, but the franchise has quite literally never done that before. The Sixers have lost all previous best of seven series when they're trailing 2-0. So they know what type of a deficit that they're in. And the same thing is I'm going to say about the Sixers as I did about the Lakers. It to me is a bit defeatist when you come out after a loss and you're going to complain about the officiating and file a complaint and say this is a huge reason why you lost that game.
I mean, you want something to complain about? Complain about the $40 million you paid Tobias Harris.
If
you
want, although I thought he was decent defensively on Brunson.
You thought he was decent?
Yeah, I thought putting bigger guys on Brunson was smart.
That's a great strategy. But how about boxing out at the end of the damn game
different.
And not letting Hartenstein come in and get the offensive rebound that led to the DiVincenzo three? How about that?
I'm not arguing
that. How about that?
No, he didn't give him the contract, but yes.
Defense isn't over until you get the defensive rebound.
Yes.
The defensive possession is not over until you get the rebound. And you didn't get the rebound because Tobias Harris didn't box out. Great.
Congratulations to the Cavs who are up 2-0.
$40 million worth of defense against Brunson, though. That's great.
All right, we'll take a deep breath.
It's great.
There's a lot that agitates us from last night with the NBA. Man, oh, man.
Which is crazy because they were good games.
I just hate the complaining, though, man.
About the refs?
About the refs. And then I can't even take Embiid seriously. I know we got to get to break, but I can't take Joel Embiid seriously. Like, you're talking about, oh, we're going to win this series. We're the best team. No, you ain't. Through the first two games, you ain't proving it. The best players don't make the best team, but the best team always wins. It's clear to me that the Knicks are the best team. The Sixers might have the better collection of talent. The Knicks are the best team. Bro, I can't believe that you think your team is going to win this series when you can't even look the media in the face when you're giving your post-game interview.
They might be a better collection of talent, but that talent is compromised.
Yeah, bro. How am I going to expect the Sixers locker room not to be shook when the star player Joel Embiid is shaky like that in a post-game interview? Give me a break.
It's draft week. We'll mock coming up. But first, we all know that breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. And you know what happens? You grab that cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. It ruins the rest of the day. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast. Listen to this. So you're booking the room. You're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. You get baked goods. You get fruit. You get eggs. You get yogurt. You get waffles every single morning. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Countdown to the NFL Draft.
Most fascinating draft in NFL history coming up.
This is Chris Canty's NFL Mock Draft 4.0.
All right, CC, we got the last version of it. Mock Draft 4.0. And, of course, all of our draft coverage here on Unsportsmanlike brought to you by True Green. Get the best lawn at the best price. Guaranteed, and we will be in Detroit starting on Thursday and
Hello.
Friday. Brought to us by True Green with our draft coverage. CC, go ahead.
Hello. Well, let's kick off Mock Draft 4.0, the last mock draft before the big night Thursday in Detroit. Looking forward to it. The 313. Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to see you people. But let's get this thing kicked off. Everybody wants to know where the quarterbacks are going, so let's run through that really quickly off the top with the mock draft. Chicago Bears, number one, they're taking Caleb Williams. Listen, when they have an official visit and the front office and the coaching staff don't take the player to dinner, but the team leaders, the captains take him to dinner, you know that he's going to be the pick. Mm-hmm. So the Chicago Bears, they're not on the clock yet, but they can go ahead and turn in that card. It's going to be quarterback Caleb Williams. Number two, the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels let it be known after all of the buzz this weekend that he'll go wherever he's drafted. Sure, there are other places that he would like to be, but he's not going to have that luxury. Jaden Daniels ends up hearing his name called by the Washington Commanders. Drake May is the third quarterback off the board, but it's not to the New England Patriots. Ooh. In a dramatic move up. The Minnesota Vikings go get their guy. I was talking to an AFC talent executive yesterday, and he said that Drake May is the guy that the Minnesota Vikings are targeting. There is no doubt. Keeping this thing pushing, when we start talking about quarterbacks, at number eight, it's actually the Atlanta Falcons pick. But it ends up being the New England Patriots. They did the dance with the Vikings, slid back to 11, but they moved back up to number 8 to take quarterback J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. And then the last quarterback to go in the first round would be the Las Vegas Raiders selecting Michael Penix Jr., but they don't do it at 13 because they're already taking a corner at that spot. The Las Vegas Raiders trade back into the first round with the Miami Dolphins to take Michael Penix Jr., with the 21st overall pick. So those are the five quarterbacks that I've got going in the first round. The other trades that I have happening, the New York Jets actually move up from 10 to 5 to jump the New York Giants to take the second best receiver off the board. That would be wide receiver Malik Nabers. I told you guys I love his explosion. I think he's absolutely phenomenal. Of course, the L.A. Chargers trade back. They get an offensive tackle, J.C. Latham, the big right tackle out of Alabama. And the Philadelphia Eagles actually move up from 22 to 12 with the Denver Broncos, who trade out of the first round. And the Philadelphia Eagles select our friend of the show, Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. I've got Arnold now as my first cornerback off the board, not Quinyon Mitchell. He comes off a pick later to the Las Vegas Raiders. So that is the nuts and bolts of my mock draft. We've got 6 total trades in the first round. Another big trade is the Denver Broncos, who actually slid back from 12 to 22, trade out of the first round, allow the Washington Commanders to come back into the first round. So they have 2 first round picks. They take Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. If you're going to buy the house, which is the quarterback in the NFL, you might as well get the homeowner's insurance. And that is what drafting offensive tackle Amarius Mims would amount to for the Washington Commanders. So, Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Any objections, any omissions to this mock draft? Anything that catches your eye?
A couple things really catch my eye. I love that the Minnesota Vikings are moving up to number three to get their guy. We're talking about them getting into the top 10. If you're going to get into the top 10, why not jump to three? Make sure you get the quarterback that you think is going to be transformational for you. I love what you have at five with the Jets moving up. Yeah. You know that they are on a finite timeline with Aaron Rodgers. So to be able to make that move, get him another weapon, they're in win now mode. I think that's really smart. And I love what you have New England doing. The fact that they trade out of number three, but still land their quarterback. Making that trade with the Falcons at eight to get J.J. McCarthy. I'm sure, Evan, you as a Patriots fan, if they were to make that move, you'd be pleased with that, no?
I'm starting to fall in love a little bit with Drake May for the dumbest reasons. This whole Topgolf thing has changed the entire draft. It is so stupid. Am I wrong? The Washington Commanders have all these quarterbacks, and they invite them all to this one outing playing golf at a driving range. And we hear rumors that Jaden Daniels was annoyed by this, and Drake May was on with Kevin Clark and just was like, yeah, it was cool. I'm hanging with everybody. And like everything CC has said about this guy, like he's got that makeup, was kind of, again, it is ridiculous what I'm saying. I'm acknowledging that. Was kind of shown in this interview with Kevin of like, yeah, like who cares? Like we had fun. I was good hanging out with these guys. He's got that kind of quarterback persona to him that you like. Like Caleb Williams has it, obviously. Yeah. I don't, if Drake May is as good as you say he is, I understand the value behind trading back and then trading back up for New England. Trading down and then back up.
Yeah.
But can you really pass on Drake May? Can you, when you don't have to play him right away, you have Jacoby Brissett there to play. I just keep coming back to that. I love all the trades in the first round. I love the fact that six of the top 12 picks are traded. The other guy that I'm going to keep coming back to, I've done this before with your mock draft. I'm going to keep coming back to it. I want to see where Brock Bowers goes and who he's going to help. Anthony Richardson is a young quarterback, completely unproven because of injury, not because of poor play. If he gets that kind of slip-in weapon that you have there at 15 at Indy, I like that.
That would be spicy, right?
Oh, I don't like him with the Jets.
And that's a franchise that values tight ends. Just think about all the great tight ends they've had in the past. Yeah,
they are so high on Anthony Richardson in Indy. It's unbelievable. That's one of my things heading into this season that I'm most looking forward to seeing is a healthy Anthony Richardson.
By the way, Drake May joining us tomorrow, 8:35 a.m. Eastern time.
All right.
I was told by an NFL front office executive with the pro comp for Drake May, think a bigger, more athletic Jared Goff. Now, that's not going to wow a lot of people.
But I'm
telling you that like if you are guaranteed to get that as the third quarterback off the board, who wouldn't take that?
I'm bothered by that setup just now. I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Jared Goff was the number one overall pick, has been to a Super Bowl with one team and an NFC championship game with another team. If someone tells me that is going to be Drake May, that is a home run pick at number three. We're not talking number one overall. We're talking number three overall. Smalls, you bring up all the time, one of these guys is going to be a bust. Mm-hmm. If a guy has Super Bowl appearance and NFC title game appearance, he's not a bust.
Not at all.
They say he's the safest quarterback in this draft.
So then what are we talking about?
More than Caleb?
They say he's the safest quarterback
in this
draft.
Then you can't trade out of that pick at number three. Even if you're not ready for him based on the current team, if you're New England, you cannot trade out of that. If that's what Drake May is, you can't trade out of number three. I'm sorry, you can't. Especially because I'm going to listen to you, and you tell me, and Smalls, and everyone listening to our show, J.J. McCarthy may be fine, not closer to the top three as he is the bottom, the next three. Penix may be better than McCarthy, and may be the best of all of them. So why in the world would you ever trade out of that pick if you're New England? Because I can get a 2025 first next year? What is that going to do if I don't have a quarterback?
We've always said this about Patrick Mahomes. No draft compensation retroactively would have been too much for him. If Drake May really is that guy that we think is going to be the safest quarterback in this draft, you don't know when you're going to be picking again next. You don't know what type of talent's going to be available. You can't pass up on that opportunity if he's there.
See, it's interesting that you say that. We say that with Patrick Mahomes. We don't really say that with Jared Goff. And I guess that will be the key, right? Because we assume that Jared Goff is a quarterback that can make it work when he has supremely talented players around him. Well, with New England making that trade back move, that will be the start of them being able to put supremely talented players around him, right? Because you would make that move and you would pick up two additional first-round draft picks over the next 2 years for your trouble, not to mention have a developmental prospect at quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. So, I mean, I guess that's the question. What's the gap between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy from your grading standpoint, and what are the other players that you're targeting that you could pick up with the additional draft capital?
I don't grade, you do, and you've told me there's a gap.
There's a gap.
Okay, so that's how I'm looking at it.
But here's the thing. I'm getting the feeling that the gap that I have is not as sizable in the eyes of NFL front office executives.
Adam Schefter dropped a ton of interesting draft nuggets yesterday on ESPN.com. He will join us next to discuss. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We will be in Detroit for the draft on Thursday and Friday. Adam Schefter joins us each and every week, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with licensed therapists. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Adam. Nothing going on this week for Schefty. Very light week, hanging with his family, playing golf, the whole deal, and nice enough to join us right now. Schefty, you dropped a ton of nuggets yesterday. I want to start with the Atlanta Falcons. Not an obvious place to start, but you mentioned Michael Penix and tampering charges around Kirk Cousins. Can we discuss what's going on with those two? Could Penix go as high as 8? And what's up with the tampering charges?
Well, in regards to Penix, yeah, there's been some speculation, right or wrong. You never know exactly how accurate it is, that the Falcons like Penix. They've had workouts with him. They've had visits with him. They spent a lot of time. And the one thing I do know is that the Falcons do want to add a quarterback in this draft if they can. That would be ideal. And look, do I think 8 is going to be the spot they take Penix? I'd be surprised, but I don't rule anything out. If they wind up moving back and they're a team that moves back in the first round, well, that makes it more possible. And then you factor in the tampering charges that you asked about. You know, if they're losing a pick, let's just call it a mid-round pick, I'm guessing here. Maybe you wait another year to draft a quarterback then because you figure you want to get them more help this year. I think there's a lot that's still fluid that they're still trying to figure out. But yes, there is an investigation that the league is looking into for tampering charges. Kirk Cousins had contact with Falcons officials allegedly before he was allowed to. The league will make a determination about whether that warrants discipline. And if it does, then you would think that if it involves a draft pick, that the league would hand it down by the time the draft begins on Thursday night.
Before we get into more draft stuff, Schefty, we did see that the Kansas City Chiefs announced contract extensions for Andy Reid and Brett Veach out there with the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, it's well-deserved. Curious from your perspective, what is the timeline for Andy Reid now that we have these extensions done?
Well, you sign an extension that's good for basically the next 5 or so years, and that should quiet any talk about him walking away from the game. And honestly, if you're Andy Reid, and you love coaching as much as he does, and you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, why do you need to walk away when you could make all that money and you're doing what you love and you're the best? Like,
you're right to laugh. It is actually laughable. You don't even want to walk away from that.
You. Exactly.
You're better off just mailing it in and just sitting there next to Mahomes. Right? Who cares at that point?
You know, like, I mean, yeah, that's a great arrangement. If someone's going to pay you the money they're paying him to go coach Patrick Mahomes, you know, sign me up for 5 years of that.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. So we know Andy Reid wants to stay in Kansas City. There's been some conversations this week that maybe Jaden Daniels isn't interested in playing for Washington. What's the latest that you can share with us with what you're hearing about that situation?
I don't think that's going to develop into an issue, really. I think Jaden Daniels recognizes, smart enough to recognize, that this isn't free agency. This is the draft. And you go where you're drafted in this world. And, you know, Washington, to me, there are signs that continue to point to him being the second overall pick. They're not going to be swayed by what he thinks. Look, back in the day, Jaden Daniels, it's no secret, had a close relationship with Antonio Pierce. I'm sure in a perfect world, he might have looked to play in Las Vegas. The fact of the matter is, it's not a perfect world. The Raiders are the 13th pick, and I think the Commanders have a high level of interest in Jaden Daniels. There's a lot of players that want to play in a lot of different places. Again, not how the draft works. And Jaden Daniels is prepared to go wherever he goes, be happy with that, and then go be the face of that franchise wherever he's selected on Thursday night. And my guess would be it is at 2 to the Washington Commanders.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, brought to us by BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/Adam here on Unsportsmanlike. So again, not reporting it, just discussing it in terms of Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, as you just said. Number 3 is very interesting. We all know it's going to be Drake May. We don't know who is going to actually draft him at number 3. You reported yesterday, Giants and Vikings are the two most logical trade-up teams. Are they both in the market for Drake May? Is that why they're trying to trade up?
Well, I think the Vikings would like to be there in the event that, for some reason, Washington doesn't take Jaden Daniels, which, again, the pick hasn't been turned in, and you never know how these things go. Again, I think there are signs that point to Jaden Daniels, and I think he will be. But if he's not, I'm sure Minnesota would love to add Jaden Daniels. And if they can't get Jaden Daniels, yes, I do believe that they'd have a level of interest in both Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, by the way, as the Patriots do. And the Patriots have been there at 3, and the two teams that have called the most in order would be the Minnesota Vikings, who have picks 11 and 23, and the New York Giants, who are at number 6. Now, I don't know how aggressive the Giants are going to be, and it would have to be for the right guy and the right price, and I don't know that that ever happens, and maybe the Giants are just trying to dupe everybody. We don't exactly know. But to me, somehow, some way, the way it's shaping up, it certainly seems like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, in one way or another, seem destined to wind up in New England and Minnesota one way or the other. Can Minnesota get up to 3 to get Drake May? Maybe so. If not, maybe they get J.J. McCarthy. If the Patriots stay where they are, probably Drake May. If they trade out, probably J.J. McCarthy. So it seems somehow, some way, going into this, and we'll see how it shakes out, that Drake May and J.J. McCarthy seem ticketed one way or another for New England and Minnesota. And let's see how that combination plays itself out.
Shefty, on Thursday night, we expect that there'll be a number of teams trying to trade up into the top 10 for a quarterback. I'm curious, from what you're hearing from NFL people, could we see a team trade up into the top 10 for a position player? And if so, what's the position group that they would likely be targeting?
Yeah, well first of all, I don't know if we're going to see as much action of teams trading up into the top 10. I think everybody is expecting and waiting for Minnesota to make its move from number 11 into the top 10 somewhere. I think it's going to be cost prohibitive to go up to number 4 at Arizona spot. You know, I think the Cardinals sit there, and to me, you know, if you have a chance to go draft a guy like Marvin Harrison, it's hard not to do that. 5, the Chargers. I would think that they're going to be offensive line, and they could get offensive line at 11 if they decided to move out to Minnesota. That's a spot that makes sense to me. You know, the Giants, if they don't get the quarterback that they want, and even if they could, they still might take one of the top wide receivers in this draft. And when you're talking, Chris, about a team trading up, I keep waiting to hear if there's a team that's going to make a bold move for one of these elite wide receivers in this draft. We've seen that type of thing happen before. I believe Buffalo once traded up for Sammy Watkins, if my memory serves me correct.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Atlanta Falcons trading up for Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. And would I be floored if there were another team that tried to make a bold, aggressive play to get one of these receivers? No. I'm unaware of it right now, but I totally could see it happen. And these are the kinds of things that seem to pick up steam as the draft gets closer.
Adam, we have about a minute here. We had assumed that the Denver Broncos were in the quarterback market yesterday. They acquired Zach Wilson from the Jets. Do you think that that changes the way that they'll approach the quarterback in the draft in any way?
Yeah, I think it gives them some added flexibility. I think that, look, here's the bottom line. If there's a quarterback that they like in a spot that they feel like there's about, I think they go ahead and do that. And if not, I think that they're comfortable, you know, with Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson and Ben DiNucci right now. Do I think they'd like to get a quarterback in a perfect world? Yes. Sean Payton said as much last week. And I think Zach Wilson gives him another layer of security, but I don't think he solves everything.
Adam Schefter, you can get his podcast available now. Just dropped it with Michigan quarterback, or now former Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, this morning. And, of course, you'll hear him all week long and see him as part of the draft coverage. Schefter, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. There is Adam Schefter, of course, as always, brought to us by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/Adam, where you get 10% off of your first month of online therapy with BetterHelp. A lot of information Schefter dropped there, plus two wild games in the NBA last night. We'll dive into that next. It's Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.